specifically Colossians 2nd chapter 9 through 14. And right off the bat, as I read it, it said, "For contained in him dwells all the fullness." And if you remember last week, we talked about theotes somatikos, okay? That literally, King James says, the Godhead bodily. Really, it means being God in a body. Theotes is the adverb. That would be being God. Theos is God, right? Like being God, and then somatikos is bodily. Being God in a body. And I thought that was so wonderful talking to you about it last week. I was meditating over it again. He, Jesus, is contained in him all of what it means being God in a body, the fullness of God in a body. And my mind, my attention went back to the word fullness. And I sat there, thought about it for a little while, prayed about it some. Nothing. Okay? Same thing happened again the next day, and I wrote it down. I went and read it all. I read that whole thing through there in fullness several times. And I'm thinking, and then, you know, I don't get it. What are you telling me? So what I always do is go look it up. Pleroma, which I pronounced last week, pleroma, it's actually pleroma, is an ancient, comes to them from an ancient Greek word. It's been around a long time, right? And the idea of the word is fullness. And I'm looking at it, I read all this stuff. I'm going, okay, great. Still didn't get anything. So it didn't mean anything. It's fullness. I don't understand. That went on for 2 days. Finally, it's like, you ever had somebody just keep poking you? Y'all got children? Mama, 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 daddy, daddy. We heard that earlier. Daddy, daddy, right? Well, that was what was going on. And finally, it was like, okay, what? I don't get it. I don't understand. I went and looked it all up again. Then I started researching the word some more. Turns out, this word has two sides to it. It's kind of like, y'all remember norizo? No? Okay. It's translated, for instance, in Philippians 4, 6. It's translated to make your request known. Okay? And what we've said now for years, ever since the revelation came, is that word can go either way. But the primary way, the first way, is not to make known, it's to come to know. So it can go from here out, or it can go from out in. That word can go either direction. Well, this word, pleroma, also has kind of two things. It has an active and a passive, and the active is that which fills, okay? Remember, we're talking about fullness. The active is that which fills, okay? The passive is that which is filled. You got the distinction? So we're talking about fullness, and that's the word coming in from ancient Greek into the language of Koine. It can be that which fills, that's active, or it can be that is filled, that which is filled. And I thought, well, that's cool, but still I'm just stuck with fullness. Okay, so, okay, it's got two parts, okay? What do you, I don't get it. So I kept digging. And when I get to this place, not only do I spend a lot of time in the spirit because I don't know, but I try to get out of what I call the Christian thing. Like, let's get out of theology and apologetics. Let's go out there in the world and just see what they have to say about this, right? So that's what I did. Oh my goodness. Turns out that this word has a lot of stuff. It is true that the strict definition of the word comes from the verb parao, which means to fill or to fulfill, right? And then this pleroma is that fullness. However, beginning with the early church, beginning in early Christianity, specifically Koine Greek, with regard to gospel accounts, not just the canon, canonical, what's been put into, quote, the Bible, but even the non-canonical, the things that weren't put in the Bible, but their writings from the church fathers and that kind of stuff, going all the way back to when they started writing stuff down as, quote, the church or Christians, which would be somewhere in the mid-40s to early 50s A.D., right? They started using this word with reference to God. When they used this word, pleroma, especially in the writings, they were talking about not just fullness, they were talking about the fullness of God. To them, the word had a whole other meaning. And don't look at me in that tone of voice. Again, the easiest one for me is gay. When I was a kid, gay meant happy, excited, you know. Gay. And now you had a group of people who appropriated it and changed the meaning of it. When you say it now, they think something else. That's what happened to the Christians with this word. When you said pleroma, they didn't just think about the idea of fullness. They meant, in their mind, we were talking about the fullness of God. And I thought, wow, that's strange. But then I wondered, well, how come you don't hear Christian theologians and scholars talk about that very much? Turns out, the reason is the Gnostics, and I'm not going into that a whole lot, okay? Y'all know what Gnosticism is. If you don't, I know most everybody does, okay? The Gnostics in Gnosticism, they borrowed that thing from Christianity and began to develop it in their own sequencing. In fact, some people actually refer to Gnostic Christians because they were people who said they believed in Jesus, but they began to think that somehow they would be perfected in all of this great knowledge that was being given. And without going too deep into it, most of the early church fathers back in the first and second century recognized that a lot of that stuff went into angel worship and stuff, and it wasn't good. And so the Gnostics continued on one way, kind of developed their stuff by around 300, 350, and it continued on for a few hundred years, then pretty much died out, kind of splintered into other things. So